This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
And welcome to the Alcoholics Anonymous radio show here on Plains FM 96.9. My name is Kate and I am an alcoholic. The purpose of this show is to increase public awareness of Alcoholics Anonymous as an effective means of recovery from the disease of alcoholism. Our show has two parts. First, we'll talk a bit about alcoholism, what it is and what AA can do to help. Then we'll interview a recovering alcoholic who is an active member of AA. I'm now going to ask our guest to read the AA preamble, which is read at the start of every AA meeting.
Hello, my name's David and I'm an alcoholic. I'll read the preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety.
Thanks, David. So what is alcoholism? Alcoholism is a disease, not a disgrace. There's no shame in having an illness or a disease. An unusual feature of this disease is that it will do whatever it can to convince you that you do not have it. However, once it has a hold of you, the progression of symptoms is like the classic disease model, and the victim is as helpless as a sufferer of cancer. If you are an alcoholic, you are at the beginning of a long road that usually ends in one of three places: prisons, institutions, or death. If you think this sounds dramatic, we can assure you that our collective experience has shown this to be true. The challenge is to convince the alcoholic to admit they need help and become willing to seek it. Denial is a major symptom of alcoholism. The alcoholic is often the last one to recognise it and admit that they have it. Our definition of alcoholism is that it is an allergy of the body coupled with an obsession of the mind. The allergy is the physical aspect of the disease. After having the first drink, the phenomenon of craving develops and we lose control over when we will stop drinking. The old saying is, one is too many and 1,000 is never enough. And yet, because of the obsession of the mind, the mental aspect of the disease, the alcoholic is compelled to keep picking up the first drink. This makes us powerless. We often hear from sober alcoholics that many doubted whether life could be fun without alcohol. Fortunately, those same people report that their lives have improved dramatically since they became sober. The 12-step program of recovery, which is discussed at meetings and which is outlined in the Alcoholics Anonymous Big Book, is how we get sober and maintain our sobriety one day at a time. This program has a proven track record of helping otherwise hopeless alcoholics to achieve long-term sobriety and recovery. It has taught us how to enjoy life sober. Okay, for anyone who has just joined us, you're listening to the Alcoholics Anonymous radio show here on Plains FM 96.9. We're just about to interview an AA member who is going to share their experience with alcoholism. So let's meet our guest. Would our guests like to introduce themselves and give us a quick sketch of who you are?
Hi, my name's David. I'm in my 60s. I've been sober for 24 years. My sobriety date's 4th of May 1994. I work as a project manager in the construction industry. Married, I've got one adult daughter who's married with her family. And I'm a New Zealander, Kiwi New Zealander. I've born in Dunedin, but I spent pretty much all my life in Christchurch. So, yeah, that's a bit about me.
That's great, David. So when did you start drinking, and how did it progress from there?
I started drinking in my late teens, and that was, you know, I discovered the magic formula, really, and it was great. I loved it. And that progressed probably into, you know, quite serious drinking in my early 20s, and then, you know, I was in my first treatment in my late 20s for alcoholism. I was in a treatment centre here in Christchurch, and yeah, I mean, originally I started drinking socially. I liked the idea of drinking and mixing it and being part of something, and then I liked the sensation of being drunk. Just taking the edge off life, and pretty quickly I progressed to drinking for effect. I liked the effect that alcohol gave me, and I like volume. I'm a fast drinker, and that still pertains today as well. I drink big glasses, and I drink quickly, and I like volume. So, you know, I drink beer and wine. And once I started needing the effect of alcohol, I discovered spirits because they were fast. So I started drinking spirits mixed. So again, in a big glass, drinking it fast. But yeah, that was pretty much how my drinking progressed. I started drinking socially, but pretty quickly progressed to drinking alone because I just wanted the effect of the alcohol. Didn't need the add-on social aspects of it that went with it. Just needed the effect. Yeah, just needed the alcohol. Yeah, because it made me feel good and took away the. Made me feel like other people looked, as I've heard it expressed, and made me feel competent and capable and enough. Me and a drink, we were enough for whatever. So, yeah, that was pretty much how it progressed.
So you say you ended up in a treatment centre. What made you realise that you needed help? Was it you that realised, or?
Oh, people around me. You know, people pointed out the problems that my drinking was causing, and it, I mean, I realised I had a problem, and I knew what the problem was, but there's a big difference between knowing what the problem is and wanting to do something about it. So I ended up in treatment really through a lot of social pressure, family. Saying you need to do something about this, you need to sort this out, and in the finish also it was just a convenient escape too. Let's get out of my current predicaments and let's go to a treatment centre and demonstrate that I'm got some willingness to do something about this, and just take the pressure off. That was really about it.
So the current predicaments, can you elaborate any on those? Have you, you know?
Oh, just relationship stuff. Just not being reliable, lying. Running out of money. You know, alcoholism's a pretty expensive disease, not just the cost of the alcohol, but also in lost opportunities. There's a cost, a financial cost, as well as emotional and physical costs with the disease. I just become unreliable, and I was drunk more often than not, and not showing up for things. When you do show up and you're drunk and act inappropriately and all that sort of good stuff that goes along with it.
So all those behaviours, I mean, how did you feel while all of that was going on?
You feel stupid afterwards, and I always felt that I could do something about this. I could control it. I could ease back. I could manage it. And I, if I could learn the trick of doing that, then I wouldn't get myself into the mess that I've constantly found, well, not constantly, but often found myself in. So that was really the what I was seeking, was not so much to stop drinking, but to actually learn how to control my drinking and do it better and smarter.
So if I do the math, you went into treatment in your late 20s. So what happened between then and you getting into AA?
Well, I was introduced to AA in treatment and didn't like it. It was just not me. But we were directed, strongly encouraged or directed, depending on how you look at it, to go to meetings. And I went to meetings and there wasn't anything in AA that I found attractive. But it was also a useful thing to do, that if the pressures were building up around behaviours, then you could say, oh, well, I'm off to a meeting, I'm going to go back to AA, I'm going to do that. So that was a pretty handy little card to have in your back pocket to play every now and again. So I was doing that. But treatment changed my views around drinking. And you kind of have the knowledge of what it's doing to you and the bad effects of it. And I lost my innocence as a drinker by going to a treatment centre. So you know you shouldn't be doing it, and then there's a layer of guilt gets added into it, an extra layer of guilt gets added into it at that point, that you shouldn't be doing this stuff. But it certainly didn't stop me drinking. I just wanted to do it better. So that carried on for a while. Ended up in my first, after the treatment, as I say, I ended up in an AA meeting, seriously trying to do something about it when I was around in my early 30s, so another 5 years or so later. And at that point, I needed to do something about my drinking. And I understood that AA had a solution for a lot of people. And so grin and bear it, put up with the bits you don't like, the self-examination, I guess, and go to AA. So I started to go to AA, and I pretty quickly discovered that there was, for me, different types of meetings. There was meetings where you could go and talk about your day, which was good. I could do that. There were meetings that actually where people were doing the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, which is the 12 steps, and I found that quite confronting, that whole business of making a searching and fearless moral inventory of yourself. I wasn't prepared to do that. So I pretty quickly learned that there were meetings I felt a lot more comfortable in. So I've heard it said that meetings disturb the comforted and comfort the disturbed. And I found the ones that comforted the disturbed. I didn't want to be disturbed. I was doing that. And that was good. I stopped drinking.
Yep.
And that was fine. Great. You know, I would describe it, or at the time I described it, as my life went kind of from black and white to colour. Life became enjoyable, and I could just trick along and do these meetings. Didn't really want these people who stood up the front of the meeting and told us about what we needed to be doing. And I found I could do, just by fronting up and being there was okay. But for me, that also didn't take away, what I've now come to recognise as that fundamental desire to stop drinking. It wasn't dealing with that. And so after 5 years of not drinking and being at AA, and I describe that as being at AA, which is quite different from being in AA, I stopped going to meetings, and I've heard people say that they stopped going to meetings and that's what caused them to go back drinking again. For me, that wasn't the case. I stopped drinking so I could go back drinking. Stopped going to meetings so I could go back drinking again. That was the reason why I stopped going to meetings, because it didn't fit my desire to go back drinking again. And so I didn't want to drink like I'd finished up my drinking, which was drinking spirits straight from the bottle, because I just needed that hit and that effect. I just wanted to have a beer on the weekend, when you go out for friends and family, have a wine, just be part of that social scene and just drink. And I thought, I've been around AA long enough now and I understand what bad drinking is, and I've done treatment and I understand what alcohol can do to me, so I'm smart enough to actually you know, if this starts getting out of control, then I'll just stop again. But I didn't want that hardcore getting drunk, falling down drunk, not being able to remember what you did the night before, losing the car, not turning up for family events, or if you did turn up for family events, making a mess of it. I didn't want that stuff again. All I wanted to do was actually be able to have a beer on a hot Saturday after you've been in the garden, go out for a meal, have two or three glasses of wine with the meal, and do that nice social drinking. So that was what I wanted to do. But within a few weeks, I was back drinking the way I drank before. And that went on for 3.5 years until I ended up in a detox. And from there, I went to another treatment centre. And from there, I knew I had to go back to AA, because didn't necessarily believe there was an answer for me there. But I'd run out of other options, run out of better ideas. And I knew if I went back to AA, I had to be serious about it, and I had to do it the way other people did AA, which was go to meetings, get a sponsor, do the steps. And even if at the end of that, all I could say was, see, I tried really hard and it didn't work, then that would be fine. And I didn't necessarily believe it would work for me. But, 24 years later, I haven't had the need to have a drink on a daily basis. So, and my life has changed a bit.
So you say your life's changed. Can you describe yourself and your life a little bit today?
My life today? I'm a bit of a Joe Lunchbox, I guess, you know. I'm reliable. Most of the people I work with don't know I'm an alcoholic, not because I hide it from them, but I don't openly display it either. So, you know, they don't see those behaviours. And I've been able to progress in my career, hold down good jobs, and become a valued and trusted member of my family again. And, you know, I have a great relationship with my daughter and my wife, and we very strong on family values, and I participate in that, and my opinions and views are respected. Not always followed, but you know, I get listened to, laughed at, and yeah, it's I've learned. I think on my good days, I feel like other people look, and life's still a bit of a mystery to me at times. But I have a template for living, and I just do the next thing in front of me, and it seems to work out. And I've been presented with opportunities through life, which I've been able to take some of those. And life's comfortable. I don't have a lot of regrets in my life. I don't have any real regrets in my life. I've been able to come to terms with those things that I've done badly, and been able to make amends for things, and life's good. I wake up with a sense of hope and expectation. At the very least, whatever happens today, it's going to be okay. It's not going to knock me down, not going to give me, you know, too many concerns. And on my best moments, I love life. It's not my the things that give me a good buzz are not the material things. They're those fundamental things of being part of a family, being having relationships, being valued, and making a contribution. Now, I heard a guy say once that he had changed from being a taker to being a giver, and I think I've done that too, and that's a much better place to be.
So you're saying that you've done treatment, you'd been into AA, you've gone back out there, you've done treatment again, you've come back into AA. What would you say to anyone out there that's sort of struggling with their drinking a wee bit, and whether they've either, you know, tried the 12-step programs before or tried treatments? Is there anything that you can suggest to them?
Well, I think for me anyway, I reached a point where I'd run out of better ideas. And I've heard that described as the gift of desperation, and I got that. I tried all the counselling and the self-help and the cutting down and the management and the hypnotherapy and all those things, you know, that seemed easier ways of doing it. And you know, I've been those hadn't worked for me. And I just was left with the option of going back to AA because I'd run out of better ideas. And I think everyone reaches a point, and it's described as a rock bottom, where you're ready for that. And just give AA another try and go with an open attitude. And don't just go to one meeting. Go to several different meetings because AA has different flavours and you'll find one meeting which you might suit you better than another, and that's fine. And just put one foot in front of the other and go back and give it a try. And try it for 30 days. If you can do a meeting a day for 30 days and it hasn't worked for you, then maybe you're not ready or the answer's not there for you. But keep an open mind about it because... yeah, it's been an answer for a lot of people, but I'm a very strong believer in the time has to be right for you. When the time's right and your mind's open enough to for that seed, for that little bit of light to get in, then the miracles can happen. But going to AA with a closed mind and expecting it to somehow solve your problems isn't going to work. You know, sobriety is an inside job. That comes from within you, and AA definitely can support you, and you get in touch with people who I've got in touch with people who are like me. They think like me, they act like me, they've done stuff like me, and I identify with that. My head's still a bit crazy, and I go to AA and I identify and I fit in at AA, and I don't always fit in the outside world, but I've managed to, on a day-to-day basis, not make that obvious anymore. So, by disturbingly not fitting in. You know, I pretty much fit in the world at a visual level, what people see of me. But I go to AA to keep my head straight. And, you know, I hear older members say, and something I've started to identify with, that I no longer have a drinking problem. But every day I've got a thinking problem, and I need to go and deal with that. And because, you know, my thinking will lead me to drinking if I allow it to run its course. And I just need to make sure I keep on top of that. But yeah, if you're struggling with drinking and you've tried AA before, just go back. Door swings both ways. You can leave. You can go back in. And there's no judgment. We're all just searching for an answer. And we'll find it when we're ready. And that's what happened for me. I'm a retread. I've found a solution for me in AA, which, when the time was right.
That's fantastic. Thank you, David, for coming in and on the show today and sharing your story with us.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
For our listeners, if you've related to anything that you've heard or would like some more information about Alcoholics Anonymous, you can look us up on the web at www.aa.org.nz or call us on 0800 AA Works. There are 66 meetings a week in Canterbury, so it's likely there's one near you. Join us next week to hear from more AA members sharing their experiences. Our show airs every Monday at 6 p.m. on Plains FM, and repeats on Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. You can find podcasts of all our past shows on the Plains FM website at plainsfm.org.nz. It brings us to the end of the show. Thank you for listening, and remember, if you want to drink, that's your business. But if you want to stop, we can help. You do not have to do it alone. We will now close the show with the Serenity Prayer, as we do in every AA meeting. God.
Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
You've been listening to the Alcoholics Anonymous radio show on Plains FM 96.9.
Desperado, why don't you come to your senses? You've been out riding fences for so long now. Oh, you're a hard one, but I know that you got your reasons. These things that are pleasing you can hurt you somehow. Don't you draw the queen of diamonds, boy. She'll beat you if she's able. You know the queen of hearts is always your best bet. Now it seems to me some fine things have been laid upon your table, but you only want the ones that you can't get. Desperado, oh, you ain't getting no younger. Your pain and your hunger, they're driving you home. And freedom, oh, freedom, well, that's just some people talking. Your prison is walking through this world all alone. Don't your feet get cold in the wintertime? The sky won't snow and the sun won't shine. It's hard to tell the night.